This first text you see is from Isaiah, is a promise that the Lord will console us, will help us, will be with us. And so it starts, see, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her. Now, this is Isaiah 66. This is the last chapter in the book of Isaiah, which is, I think you know, is really three books written at different times. And this one, the last book, Isaiah, third Isaiah, they call them. We hope we're right. It looks that way from the language and everything else. So this was a prophecy to those in exile. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exult, exult with her, all you who are mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. And this consolation. I think you recognize this is where one of the texts that St. Therese lived by. When she was trying to search, she knew she had a mission, and she knew she was supposed to bring a message or an understanding of God to the human race. She knew that. And so this is one of her favorite texts. You see, as nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her son, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. And when you see this, your heart will rejoice. So she understood from there. This is one of the two or three key texts in her life. God will carry you. You'll be, as a nursling, God will carry you in his arms. You remember that image she has of a little child trying to get up the stairs? You remember that? She's a little child at the bottom of the stairs, can hardly get one leg, little leg up. And finally the dad goes down and picks the child up and carries him all the way up to the top. She said, now that's the way the Lord is with us. And so that's the... So when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. Now where you see this is at Lourdes, among other places. I have no idea. Somebody must have an idea. Is it a million people by now who've been healed at Lourdes? It's lots, anyway. And if you ever get a chance, go there. It's a place of blessing. Everybody who goes there is blessed. They're not all healed, but they're all blessed. And I think I mentioned that. I don't know why we were talking about Lourdes the other day, but I worked in the baths there one day, and it's just astonishing. People coming in, you know, all these men, afflicted many times, you know, bent arms or shortened legs or tuberculosis or whatever they have, and they go into this water and come out. Everybody is blessed, and some are physically healed to show forth the mercy and the love and the care that God has for us. And so that's what they pick for the first reading, that promise. And now here's an illustration of the promise. This is Cana. Is about 9 miles north of Nazareth. So, of course, everybody from Nazareth walked there, including Our Lady. The text is very interesting. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited. The main invitee is Mary. And so the wine ran short, and the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. First one to spot that. Instead of saying, well, some of them have drunk a little too much anyway, so we should skip this. She said, no, this is a wedding. and the embarrassment of this peasant family if they ran out of wine. Remember, now these parties go on for a few days. I've been to them. They still do this. You know, they dance, they sing, and the thing goes on for days. Why? Well, this is interesting from a pro-life point of view, because it's marriage, it's love, it's new life, a whole new family beginning. So everybody rejoices. Okay. Now, Jesus said, and this is where I can't, because we don't have a lot of time. The translation here is, woman, how does your concern affect me? See, the text just says, woman, what to me and to you? And first place, he calls her woman. That means we're already in a... In this culture, no man ever calls his own mother woman. Ever. So why does he say this here? Well, she's the new Eve. And he's already starting this. Woman, you are the new Eve, and I am the new Adam. And this is his first miracle. Symbolically, you see, changing the water of our lives into the wine of union with God. And he does it to help out this poor peasant family who'll be in a heck of a fix if they can't keep the wine flowing, you see. The next line, I'm not going to keep you all here all morning, but the next line, my hour has not yet come. One of my old profs, Albert Venois, made a cardinal later, did a wonderful study of this. I don't know why these guys translating didn't consult it or look at it. The text really should say, has not my hour already come? It's a whole bunch of Greek philology, and too early in the morning for that. But has not my hour already come? And she understood that. Look, we're on another plane now. And then she turns around and says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. That's a line, an allusion to a line in the book of Exodus. Whatever the Lord says, we will do. And what's going on? This is a symbolic prophecy of the new covenant. And this is the beginning of this presence of the Son of God, eternal Son of God, present. And he's the new Adam, and Mary is the new Eve. And that's why we have this text here. Why? Well, because she, by the power of God, she set up this place at Lourdes, where I forgot, somebody must know, 1 million, 2 million people have been healed. That's revealing God. And God's care. And now there's a couple of other places where there's a lot of healing going on too, Medjugorje, other way. It's trying to tell us who God is. We don't have to be afraid of God. He's only coming to heal us and save us. I better stop. We've got to get on with this.